Let's stand. Sister Emma, I'm going to ask if you can ask the Lord to bless our meeting tonight.
Lord, for what you've so far done for us and how you've met us here. And I just pray that you give us ears to hear tonight what you have to say to us, Lord. That you'll bless each one that is here. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing, The Lord is My Strength and My Song, and just look to the Lord. And if you have a song that comes on your heart, if the Lord moves in prophecy or singing in the Spirit, and just lead forth in your ministry and follow the leading of the Spirit tonight. We were encouraged this morning how the Lord wants us to enter into our ministry and be the church He wants us to be. So let's just take our liberty this evening and allow the Spirit to move in us.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
He has become my salvation.
Yea, my people, I am your strength and your song. I am your hope. I am your peace. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it unto you. The peace I give unto you is myself. I will take you through everything, saith the Lord your God. Put your hand in mine, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I will bring you through as gold, saith the Lord. Yes. As my son and as my daughter, complete in me, without spot or wrinkle. Have confidence in me. Let your prayers and supplications be unto me. Let your thanksgiving be unto me. Are not your tears precious unto me, saith the Lord? For the tears shed in my presence are precious, saith the Lord. And I will hear every one. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor my arm shortened that it cannot save. And I will bring about the complete salvation of my people. Yes. For my righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Yes. Oh, my people, cry. Cry unto me. Call unto me with your every need. For I will answer you, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just speak the word of the Lord that He's placed on your heart. Don't hold back.
Yea, saith the Lord unto His people, hearken unto me. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life or a woman's life is not made up of the possessions that he hath. Yea, I say unto you, what if a man loses his whole soul? But I say unto you, be rich towards God. Being rich towards God is giving up your money, giving up your time, giving up your being, giving up everything that you can, and that is being rich towards God.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
I tell you, my little ones, I am a jealous God. I have called you away from the things that are robbing me of your time. I long for fellowship with my people.
Yes.
Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yea, ye are my people. Yea, ye are my church. And yea, it is my kingdom. Yea, it belongeth to no one else but whom I give it to. And yea, I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Yes.
To bring forth my kingdom on this earth. And yea, I am the Almighty God. And yea, what I say I will do.
Amen.
Yea, I will perform in you all that I have spoken over you this day. Yea, just cry out to me. Yea, yield thyself unto my spirit. Yea, and I will do things through you that you have not dreamed of before. Yea, my power I give unto my church, and unto my people I give it unto no one else. Yea, and this day I call you forth to bring forth my kingdom in the earth.
Yes.
Yea, yeah. I love you with an everlasting love. Yes. And yea, though thou be unfaithful, yet I will be faithful. So yea, walk thou with me. Yea, and those things which I have spoken over thee, they will come easy to thee. If thou would spend time with me,
yes.
Thou would cry out for my
yes.
spirit to fill thee. If thou would put aside those things of the earth, if thou would not boast in anything but Christ alone,
yes.
yea, thou shalt have all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
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 Yes.
Yea, I say unto thee, lift up thine whole heart, lift up thy whole being, yea, and rejoice, for surely thy redemption draweth nigh.
Hallelujah.
Yea, it is not in part, but it is a full and a complete redemption.
Yeah.
It is for body, soul, and spirit. Oh, my people, I am here even in this camp. I am here to bless thee. I am here to change thee. I am here to transform thee, yea, from the natural,
yes.
yea,
yes.
into the spiritual. Oh, put thy full confidence in thy God this day, and I shall lead thee onward. Hallelujah. I shall lead thee upward
yes.
into the glorious things that I have in mind for thee. Oh, walk with me, and we shall go on together, saith the Lord.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yea, my little ones, saith the Lord, there is not a need that thou hast that I cannot meet, saith
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
Yea, my little ones, I say, do you need strength? Yea, I have it, come unto me, saith yeah. the Lord. Yea, do you need wisdom? Yea, I have it, come unto me, saith the Lord. Yea, do you need power? Yea, do you need love? Yea, do you need peace? Yea, do you need joy? Yea, thou shalt find all that thou needest in me, saith the Lord. Therefore seek me with your whole heart, saith the Lord, and I will provide all that thou dost need, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, and in the days when I called Moses aside and attracted him to that burning bush, saith the Lord, yea, I spoke to him and asked him to fulfill his ministry that day, saith the Lord. Yea, I equipped him. Yea, and yet the human side of Moses caught up with him, and he said, oh, I could not do this. But it was not about Moses. It was about me and what I was going to do through him, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yea, and thou may make an excuse not to exercise thy ministry, saith the Lord. Yea, I understand this. Yea, saith the Lord, you have to just rely on me and my strength. For it is not about you, saith the Lord, it is about me.
Amen.
So exercise thy ministry as in the parable of the talents, where those that ministered were blessed, and those that hid their talents were not. For I am calling thee in this hour to minister according to the plan that I have for the church today, and yea, I want to bring you and the rest of the world out of bondage.
Amen.
And yea, you shall have the victory, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Did not I say in the scriptures that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the meek, mm-hmm. and to proclaim liberty to the captives.
That's right.
And the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Yes.
And the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance from our God, to give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning.
Yes. Amen.
Yea, says the Lord, cry out to me, look up into the heavens, and look up to me, for I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And if you shall follow me, you shall be released from bondage, from idolatry, from every other of the earth. For I am your comforter, I am your redeemer, and I am your salvation. And through me, you find freedom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yea, my people, yea, is my spirit not with thee this evening, and in this place, I say unto thee, with my spirit comes an anointing upon me.
Yes.
And yea, my people, with that anointing comes peace.
Yes.
And comes
Amen.
The joy that the world cannot give thee, yes. But I can give thee.
Yes.
And yea, my people, I say, with that peace and that joy comes a liberty, yes. A new liberty that thou mayest never experienced before. But yea, I say unto thee tonight, step forth, my people. Take that
Amen.
Liberty.
Yes.
Just have faith in me, for I will not let you down.
Amen.
Lord thy God.
Amen.
And yea, with that liberty, you may minister unto the body of Christ as it is gathered here tonight. And yea, you will lift up the church. Yea, you will edify the church. For that is the reason for the gifts that I have placed upon thee. And yea, my people, take liberty in those gifts. Let them come forth. Let the church be built up. Let the church be edified. In thy name, I give you my promise. I will never let thee down.
Yes. Amen.
I will lift thee up. Take that liberty, I say.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
My beloved, I am the God of the angels,
yes.
And I change not. As I helped the children of Israel through many trials, and the prophets of old, so I am here this day to
yes.
help you.
Yes.
Whatever your need is, my yes. beloved,
yes.
just talk to me about it. For I love to hear you talk to me about your needs
yes.
and your request for help. For I have storehouses full of help for my people, my beloved, say the Lord.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of evil, yea, my people, I am with thee. I will be there to comfort thee.
Hallelujah.
And I will protect thee.
Amen.
For my people, I long to walk with thee to the gardens that I have created and talk with you as friend, as I did with Adam. Yea, my people, will you close your eyes and call to me? Yea, just visualize the gardens, the multitude of colors, the sweet smell of dew on the roses that I have created for you, my people. And I am there.
Amen.
I'm there with the birds, the bees, and the animals that I've created, my people.
Yes.
And I welcome you with you as friends to friend.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yea, my people, just call to me. I'm willing, and I'm able, and I want to come and visit with you.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Didn't enter into it.
Yea, entering in requires obedience.
Yes, amen.
It requires yielding your will to mine. I've been teaching you from when you first knew me to hear my voice, to listen, and to follow me.
Amen.
And this is what you need to do.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
As you seek my face, I will cause those things that bind you to fall away. As you seek my face, I will calm your fears. As you seek my face, I will comfort you. As you seek my face, I will set you free. And it will not be you, but it will be I. As you surrender and seek my face, just seek my face. Come unto me. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Let go of those things that bind you. Let go of those things that hold you and just seek my face and I will take them from you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say unto you, put away the things that hold you down. Put away the things of this world, the things that would take your mind away from me, saith the Lord. For many things take time, but I want your time, saith the Lord, to seek after me, that you might pray until the Lord moves upon the young people. Pray until the Lord moves upon the people that have gone away. Pray for those ones that have gone astray, my people. Come away with me and seek my face, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. May be seated. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the wonderful, rich flow of God's word that came from each of you that gave. It was a blessing to me. Sometimes you look for an ebbing of the anointing to know when to stop, and there wasn't any tonight.
Amen. Sometimes when the anointing is flowing, like it's been flowing tonight, we wonder whether we should stand even and minister. But the time is many things that were said that would fit into the message I have, and it'll be short. But I'd appreciate very much if you just stay in the same attitude of prayer, looking to the Lord for what He wants to continue to speak to you about. He's been speaking to us tonight very clearly. And there may be some other things that are the Lord has laid, things that the Lord has laid on my heart that may help us individually in our walk with the Lord. Because we want to go on from here, amen?
Amen?
I know that's the desire. I've been talking to different ones from time to time and places to place that we go to. People of the Lord want to move on. And they are looking for a greater experience in the Lord. Amen? And as wonderful as this has been, even for the first three meetings, we're looking for greater things to come. Because God is infinite in His ability to bless us and to pour out His anointing upon us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If I was to give a title to this message that I have in my heart, am I too loud? I'll back away a bit. It would be Our Helper. And Our Helper, the Holy Spirit. And we're very conscious tonight of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Amen?
Amen?
In the New King James Version of the Bible, the word Spirit is used 612 times. 223 times in the Old Testament, and 389 times in the New Testament. This is just the King James Version of the Holy Writ. In the New King James Version, if you have one, you'll notice that when the word Spirit begins with a small s, it's referring to the spirit of man, our human spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. We all have a spirit, and it refers to the spirit of man or a woman. If it refers to the spirit, I'm sorry, when it's capitalized with a capital S, even the middle of a sentence, it is referring to the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when it is capitalized, it is referring to the Holy Spirit, a person. And we should pray to the Holy Spirit as He is a person. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit was part of the Godhead right from the very beginning of time. And you'll note in Genesis, right from the beginning of Genesis, the second verse in chapter 1, it says, "The earth was without void, and the darkness was on the far the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Spirit of God was there, present with God, and when even before this earth that we live on today was formed and came into being. There are numerous examples throughout the Old Testament of the Holy Writ, of the Holy Spirit being imparted to men and women called by God for a particular purpose, such as, and I'll give you just to quote you a few names, and for a good exercise, just look up their names in your concordance and you'll read that they were full of the Holy Spirit, or it mentions that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were used by God many, in most miraculous ways. And as an example, Joseph, Moses was already mentioned in prophecy, the 70 elders that were appointed by Moses that, to help him judge the Israelites. It says that the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon those men when they were appointed them for the position that they held. You'll find that in Numbers 11, 26 to 29. There was Joshua. And Ruth, you think about Ruth and Esther. There was no way they could accomplish what those ladies did without the Holy Spirit helping them. I read the book of Ruth, and I was just reading about Esther the other day. When I was reading that, I realized that God must have imparted His Holy Spirit in them in a very particular way, because they were very bold in the things that they did. And they were helped, obviously, by the Holy Spirit. Then, of course, then there was Samson and Gideon and Saul and King David and Zechariah, just to name a few. Job said this. He said this, "The Spirit of God made me." He recognized that the Spirit of God actually made him. You find that in Job 33 and 4. And he says, "The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Amen? Amen. And David wrote much about it. He said, I'll just quote a couple of things. He said, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." That was his plea. He's the king of Israel. He was the most powerful person in that kingdom. And if there's anybody that could have been so proud and says, "I don't need any help," it would have been King David. But he didn't. He said, he's praying. He says, "Please, God," he's begging him. I'm sure that he pleaded with all his heart, "Please do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You'll find that in Psalms 51, verse 11 and also verse 12. He said, "Uphold me by your generous spirit." King David recognized that the Holy Spirit added tremendously to his life. In every aspect. And he said, "Where can I go from the Holy Spirit?" I love that. You ever thought of that? Because, we'll get into this later. That's in Psalms 139, I think, verse 7. And he said this. He said, he's writing and he says, "Teach me to do thy will. For you are my God, your Spirit," spelt with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, "is good." I love that. I just love that. You'll find that in Psalms 143. Ezekiel wrote this, "Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet." That's quite an statement, isn't it? The Holy Spirit took a hold of Ezekiel and just stood him up and said, "Okay, enough of your complaining. I've got a purpose for you, and you're going to get out and do what I told you to do, and here you go." He set him on his feet. You'll find that in Ezekiel 3 and 24. "And he was led by the Holy Spirit to prophesy to the dry bones, and they lived." Ezekiel, chapter 37, I think it's verses 1 to 14. King Nebuchadnezzar, you think about this. This is a Gentile earthly king. He was, at the time that he reigned, he was the king of the largest kingdom in the earth. It included not only Iraq, Iran, all of Israel and Egypt, and north parts of North Africa, Turkey, and half of Greece. I mean, it was a very, very large kingdom. So here's the king, and this is what he recognized that the, and it's written right in the book. It says there that he recognized that the Holy Spirit was within Daniel. What a wonderful testimony. Daniel 4 and 18. And King Belshazzar also heard that David was full of the Holy Spirit, and he set him over as a third ruler over the whole kingdom because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And in the New Testament, we read that Mary was favored by God and she became pregnant with the Christ by the Holy Spirit. Is there anything impossible for the Holy Spirit? John the Apostle wrote much about the Holy Spirit. He said this, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit." Amen? How can you describe it? I've never seen anybody that can actually describe the Holy Spirit. It's a presence that we can recognize when we turn our heart towards Him. And it's just the most wonderful experience that anybody could possibly have, anybody in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned. John also recalls Jesus giving the Holy Spirit a name, the Paraclete, Greek word, or Parakletos in a different Greek translation, but they both mean the same. It means one standing beside whom you can call. The Holy Spirit, and later on Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and when He comes to abide with you and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I've said this before, but I just can't help but repeat it again. The Holy Spirit stands beside you and He never, ever will leave you. Even if you turn your heart away from God and walk away from Him, the Holy Spirit is still there. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. So even if you deny His presence and you turn aside from God and don't walk with Him, the Holy Spirit is still there. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And He's speaking to your heart even though you don't want to recognize Him. And that's because that's what who He is. One standing beside whom you can call. And you can call upon Him for help at any time. And we've heard many testimonies of people that have backslid, or people that didn't know the Lord, or people that were exposed to Christian lives, other people. And the Spirit of the Lord brought conviction into their lives. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus promised that He would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Matthew 3 and 11. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit in John 14, 12 to 17, and gives an outline of the work of the Holy Spirit, and it would take a long time to go through it. But in chapters 14, mainly verses 25 to 26, you might want to read that when you go home. And also in chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. If you read those sections of John, it describes the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll just leave that for you to read at another time. Before Jesus ascended to be with His Father in heaven, He again promises to send the Holy Spirit in Acts 1, 4 to 8. And the promise was fulfilled in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit descended and filled the disciples who were waiting in the upper room. Now, you may wonder why I'm not reading all this. I have some more that I want to tell you. And you, many of you are familiar with these scriptures, and I gave you the scripture verses, and you can read them when you get home. Okay. Examining the lives of the apostles and the disciples after they had the infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. Who was talking about the day of Pentecost here? Brother Andy, don't you? After the day of Pentecost, they were changed men and women. And I want to give you just a few examples. If you think about Peter. Now, of all the disciples, Peter was the most outgoing of all the apostles. He was the one that would always jump up and say, "I'll do it." And he was the first one that would open his mouth and put his foot in his mouth. And he denied Christ 3 times. Yet he was the big spokesman, you might say. The night of Jesus went to the cross, Peter denied that he knew Christ. He said, "I don't know him." The day before, he was so bold, he says, "I'll never deny you." But the night that Jesus was crucified, he denied him 3 times. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, was transformed. I like that word, transformed. It means to change something from one state to another. And that's what happened to Peter when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was changed from a state of being bold, but not being able to stand behind his own words, to a person that was still bold, but he wasn't afraid of men anymore and what they would say to him. And he gave one of the most wonderful Pentecostal messages the day that they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. After being arrested and jailed, Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin. They were the ruling, the rulers of the Israelites. And basically Israel was ruled by the Sanhedrin under the covering of the Roman Empire. And they had tremendous power. The only thing they couldn't do was put somebody to death. They had their own armies. They were powerful. And they didn't like that John and Peter and the other disciples were preaching the name of Jesus and his resurrection. And they arrested them, put them in jail. And then they took them into the court there and stood them before the Sanhedrin. And this Peter was one of them, one that denied Christ just a few days before that. And after being arrested in jail, Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin. And after being told not to speak in the name of Jesus, this is what they said. "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Oh, praise the Lord. They were transformed. Amen? Acts 4:19-22. "And when the apostles needed help in administration duties, the Holy Spirit," you can read it in Acts, "told them to choose 7 men of good reputation who were known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and to set these as deacons in the church." Acts 6:3-4. "When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up, and being full of the Holy Spirit," it says, "he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Acts 7:55. "How about Deacon Philip?" Philip was a deacon, one of the 7 that was set. He heard the Holy Spirit tell him to go and speak to the minister of finance for the queen of for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Now, I have to ask you that question. If the Lord said for you to go to speak to the Minister of Finance for Canada, and you were in Ottawa one day, would you just go and knock on the door and say, "I've got a message for you"? These are powerful people. And Philip obeyed the Spirit's voice, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and he went up to it. And it turns out that the Enoch was reading from the old writ, from Isaiah. And he got up in the chariot there with the Enoch, and he explained to him what the meaning was of the scripture, and he talked to him about Jesus and the resurrection, and he said that you can be saved too, and you can be baptized. And they stopped the chariot and baptized him. He took him, led him to the Lord, and then this most miraculous thing happened. Right after that happened, the Holy Spirit transported him to another location in Israel. Literally just picked him up and moved him. Not by jet plane, not by car, not by chariot. The Holy Spirit just picked him up physically and moved. He found himself in another location, another town. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. And these are but just a few scriptural references that record the acts of men and women who were filled with the Holy Spirit as they traveled and spread the gospel of the kingdom without fear, led by the Holy Spirit. An interesting aspect of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is that it is intrinsically tied to our level of faith in God. And I'll explain what that means. Paul's desire first was this. I want to read what he said. That he, referring to Christ, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. And in the inner man, your soul, your heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, or your soul, your inner being, through faith. They're intrinsically tied together. That's quoting from Ephesians 3:16-17. What is faith? The scripture says in Hebrews 11, it is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. You can never please God without faith, without depending on Him. Verse 6, chapter 11 of Hebrews, Living Translation. I repeat, you can never please God without faith, without depending on Him. Yes, being filled with the Holy Spirit is an amazing experience. However, without faith, to believe that the Holy Spirit is capable of helping us in every situation we are faced with, the infilling of the Holy Spirit has little more value other than to convict us of our sins and unrighteousness. Which, of course, is good if we're willing to listen. We often refer to what God began in 1948 as the move of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, it is only the move of the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit is moving. Or, in other words, if I could say it this way, if we allow the Holy Spirit to move. We allowed the Holy Spirit to move tonight, didn't we? There was a tremendous moving of the Holy Spirit as many spoke direct words from God through prophecy. And how thankful we are when we have these experiences. It is obviously it's only the move of the Holy Spirit if we allow the Holy Spirit to move, whether it is in our personal lives, our family devotions, in our local church services or camp meetings. And we all play a part in availing ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit. This is a very, very important point. The ones that come up to the front to minister or lead me, they could be full of the Holy Ghost, anointed like you wouldn't believe. And if we don't avail ourselves to the anointing and the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Anybody have an answer to that one? Nothing. We each, as an each individual, has a responsibility to avail ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like a dove. He will not invade you. He will convict us of sin, but he will not invade us. But he's there to help us. That's why he's called a helper. But we need to avail ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We all are required to be sensitive, to develop a sensitivity to the moving of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice, so that we can blend together as one voice in praise and worship and have ears to hear and a heart to understand what God is saying to the church in this hour that we live. Now, before this camp, the traveling brethren didn't get in a phone call. Nowadays, you can get everybody on one of those things, Skype or something like that, and talk to each other and say, "What should we do? The camp's coming up. What should we do?" They didn't do that. I didn't get a phone call from anybody. Did you, Byron? Our responsibility was to individually wait on God, read our Bibles, pray, and speak in tongues, during asking the Holy Spirit to indicate what the Spirit wants to accomplish during the camp meetings. This is a quote from Brother Livingston, Irvin Livingston. I remember asking Sister Livingston one time when we were visiting with her. He was in the hospital then, and we had gone up to his room to visit with him, up to her home. And we were talking about Brother Livingston, and I said, "How does Brother Livingston prepare for camp?" Now we can say this now. She said he would go into his room and lie across the bed and just speak in tongues and moan and just worship the Lord for days on end, preparing for the camp meeting. And he had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful spirit of prophecy in the church. And I'm sure many of the other ones that have gone before spend many an hour in prayer and maybe fasting as well, but reading the Word, preparing, not knowing what they should necessarily be speaking during the camp or if they should speak, but just waiting on the Lord to see if the Lord would have them to minister. And that is our responsibility, and it's our responsibility as individuals in the local church before we, during the week, to wait on God, to pray, speak in tongues, so that we can be in the Spirit when we walk through the door of the meeting. And just like the brother Apostle Paul wrote so many, many times in through the epistles, he says, be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You'll see it all through Ephesians and most of the other epistles. That was his desires. We should be in Christ. And we can only do that if we spend time, as the prophecies admonished us tonight so strongly, to wait and seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen. So we rely on the Holy Spirit to indicate when and what to minister during the camp. On the other hand, planning ahead is also required for accommodation, for meals, And the list is very long. There are those who are willing to bear these responsibilities because God has gifted them with, and I believe they're spiritual gifts as much as any of the other ones are, gifts of administration and management, so that we could be here this week. And many times they're working in the background. We don't even know. I know the brother Byron spends hours and hours and hours on the computer, making phone calls, etc., trying to make sure that we have a place to stay, a room, that the meals. And there's others that have been helping him. Daryl Martz has been helping. They spend many, many hours. That is a gift of God that they have, and we should be thankful for that gift. Amen. It's as important as prophecy as anything else. God's just made us all different, that's all. Given us different ministries and responsibilities. Some are preachers, teachers. Others are evangelists. Others are apostles, shepherds, who are looking over the congregation to see that they're being cared for. Some are exhorters. Some are administrators, as I mentioned. And I'll quote, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Ephesians 4:11. Quote again, "And now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these to the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, administrations." It's right in the Bible. "Varieties of tongues." That's in 2 Corinthians 12:27-28. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And that was prophesied so strongly again tonight. Amen. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. There's that tie again between the Holy Spirit and faith. They're tied together in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives. God has given some people that meaningful ministry of giving. Literally, giving money or giving things to other people. They're gifted in knowing when somebody needs them and they can give it. And the left hand doesn't know what the right hand knows, and nobody knows what they're doing. But it's a gift that God gives some people. And I've heard that in prophecy, when they prophesied over individuals, that they would be givers. And we've witnessed it in the churches from time to time. It's a wonderful gift that God has given. And it goes, the just list goes on and on. He who gives with liberty, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Romans 12:6-8. However, let me emphasize, it is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to blend the various ministries together so that God can accomplish what He wants. We as traveling brethren wait for the Holy Spirit to indicate who will lead a meeting, minister from the Word, etc., as indicated by the Holy Spirit. We do not attempt to organize the moving of the Holy Spirit. Can I get at least one amen out of that?
Amen.
The moment we try to organize the moving of the Holy Spirit just steps aside and waits until we've run out of steam ourselves. Till we come to the end of ourselves. The Holy Spirit's very patient. If you want to run the course yourself, He'll let you run till you run out of steam. We do not attempt to organize the moving of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God expects us to believe that when we ask the Holy Spirit for help, that He will help. We put our faith into action by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "We have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds, James wrote in chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. We show we have faith that the Holy Spirit is capable of directing our meetings by surrendering our will, our opinions, our human reasoning to the will of the Holy Spirit. And if we ask Him, He is very faithful to indicate what He wants done. If you were prophesied over that you would sing in the Spirit, or prophesy, or maybe you may even be prophesied over that you may sing solos in a meeting, there, and there's a song burning on your heart, let the Holy Spirit indicate to you when the time is appropriate. Now, if you're young and you're shy and you've never sung maybe before a solo or sung in the Spirit, you may need a little help. And the local elders and deacons, the traveling elder brethren, they'd be glad to help you. If there's a song that's burning on your heart and you're just too timid even here, just mention it to Brother Byron or Brother Mervyn Sunbow or Brother Andy. Just mention that you've got a song on your heart, and they'll look to the Lord to see if they can fit it into the meeting. And as you mature in the Lord, eventually what God wants to see is that you will be able to sit in the meeting. You'll know when it's time to minister. God, it's just the way your knees will shake. I don't know what it is. You become a person talking from a personal experience, but you're afraid. But somehow you just know, because it fits in with the spirit of the meeting, and you just feel that anointing on you. And then it's the time to sing that solo or that song. Oh, here's my glasses. Excuse me. That's one of the reasons. Excuse me why I've been stumbling over some of the words. I thought I'd forgot them. We're like piano. I like this little illustration. I can't remember. It's one of the brethren mentioned it to many, many, many years ago. He says, we're like piano keys, each one of us. When the pianist sits down to play the piano, and he has a particular song in mind, he'll play that piano, but he doesn't touch every key. He only touches the keys that are required in that particular song. I think that was very good advice, because you have been prophesied over that you have the gift of prophecy. It doesn't mean that you should prophesy every meeting. What it means is that you should prophesy when the Holy Spirit tells you to prophesy. And the same goes with singing in the Spirit. We want to avail ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit and just be ready and waiting. You know, the keys on the piano, they're there, ready to be touched. And that's really the way God wants us to be. Just be ready. And when He touches that key, the sound is made. We stand up and we prophesy if the spirit of prophecy is moving, and we feel that on our heart that we've got a prophecy that we should give, we give it. If we have a song in our heart and you feel that touch from the anointing, we give it. That's the time to give it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just go on from there. We were taught in the early days of this present move of the Holy Spirit to look for the theme in our worship service and to sing songs that blend in with the same theme of the meetings. If the Spirit is moving, the theme will develop very soon in a meeting. Let us just, when we're looking to the Lord, and let's just yield to the Holy Spirit and sing songs that blend in with what God is doing. We don't want to be like a key that's not supposed to be hit on the piano during a particular piece. You know, somebody playing the piano and they hit the wrong key, everybody notices it. And we don't want to be like that, do we? But we don't have to be like that. All we have to do is yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And God will bless our meetings more richly as time goes on, as we become more sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually, and as we learn to worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. As mentioned previously, when we come to the meetings prayed up or in the Spirit, we will recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit. We are also taught, if entering or leaving the meeting, this is a bit on the side, if someone begins to prophesy, we are to stand still until the prophecy is complete. And this was ministered quite a bit in the beginning of the move, that when you, if you happen to be walking into a meeting place or you stand up to move out and somebody begins to prophesy, the brethren said, just stand still until the prophecy is over. Remembering this one thing, that God is speaking directly through a vessel to you and me. And we don't want to miss anything that God is saying. Amen? Amen? And we don't want it to be a disturbance to others that may be listening. Amen. I want to just emphasize another point about how can I put this? God is not interested in promoting talent. If I can, I may have to explain that. He wants us to yield our talents that God has given us to the Holy Spirit. And that is maybe one thing that separates our meetings from many out in the world today. We do not promote talented people. If God uses somebody that is talented in a certain area, praise God. Amen? He wants us to yield our talents to the leading of the Holy Spirit in fear and trembling, and with great humility, so that we are not seen, but Christ is glorified. There's nothing more beautiful to hear someone sing that has a beautiful voice when they sing led by the Holy Spirit. It touches the inner parts of our very being. For some of us, it brings tears to our eyes when we hear that. Others, you go away, you're just saying, oh, pray. You see Jesus. You just, you don't see the person, you see the Christ. Because God is moving by His Spirit in that person, and He's given that person a gift, and they use it according to the gifts and prophecies, or the prophecies that went over them, and they're singing to the glory of the Lord, and that just adds so much to our meetings. Amen? Amen. So we did not come here to be entertained, did we? The world is full of talented people promoting themselves in this day and hour that we live. We did not come here to hear great orators expound their personal religious views or doctrines. Paul warned Timothy, in the end times, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. 2 Timothy 3:4-5. And verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How true that is in this day in the world. However, we gather together to hear the voice of God, to be moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So how do we have faith in the Holy Spirit to be able to function like we should according to the gifts and the prophecies? I think it's been said very clearly in the words of prophecy that came here tonight. God just asks us to seek Him. Pray. Read His Word. Every day, just spend some time with Him. Just come under that anointing, and God will give you the faith so that when He touches you, you'll be able to stand and, to the glory of God, minister according to the gifts and the prophecies that are gone over before you. Jesus said this, and this is His words, Until now you have not asked in my name. Ask, and you will receive. John 16:10-24. And I believe with all of my heart, if we sincerely ask God to help us to develop a sensitivity to the moving of the Holy Spirit, if we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to minister according to the gifts and the prophecies that have gone over us, Jesus will not fail us because he sent his helper to stand beside us to help us. He will not fail us if we put our total dependence on him. Ask, pray, read your Bible, speak in tongues every day, and God will impart faith into your heart. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can ask Jesus to fill you with his presence. We're not going to have an open call, altar call tonight. I just feel in my heart that maybe we should have a little time to think about it and prepare your heart. There may be an opportunity in the days that come for you to come forward and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you tonight, spend a little time in prayer. Just seek him. If you're young, talk to your parents. You can be very young. I was very young. Many of you here were very young. I remember my sister was 11. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Mom and Dad had to carry her out to the police and in the car. And next day she couldn't even speak English hardly. Barely. You weren't there, I guess, then. But you can be very young and get filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with his presence. Amen. So if you're young and you're not sure, just talk to your mom and dad and they'll pray with you. And Lord willing, there will be an opportunity for those that have not had that experience. Maybe the experience has gone dull. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you feel that you just need somebody to give you a little shove. You need a little help. Amen. Enter into your ministry and some help to be able to speak in tongues freely. Well, we'll just pray that that opportunity will be here this week so that you can come forward and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to read one scripture before you leave, and then we'll end. And it's from, I hope I wrote it down. It's in Acts, and I didn't write it down. I think it's the 10th chapter, but I'm not sure. But I'll read it to you. And this is what it reads. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So they said to him, "We have not." I'm sorry. And he said to them, "What then were you baptized?" So they said, "Unto John's baptism." This is John the Baptist who came before Jesus, and he was ministering repentance and water baptizing the people. Then John said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord." We're not sure if this refers to water baptism here or not. But anyways, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you leave this campground, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will not be denied. God will not deny you that experience. If you want it with all your heart, seek him, and he will come and fill you with his Holy Spirit. Let's just stand and sing before the announcements. Into thy presence we come, not by any works we have done, but by thy will and name. I'm sorry I got the words wrong, but Hazel, please come and help me with that. And then if there are any announcements, just come up and we'll have them. Anybody with announcements, please? So. Amen. Into thy presence we come.
Into thy presence we come, not by the works we have done, but by the grace and thy grace alone. Into thy presence we come, into thy presence we come, not by the works we have done, but by the grace and thy grace alone. Into thy presence we come.
Amen. You may see it, Brother Darrell. Just
praise God. For breakfast tomorrow morning, we are going to change it a wee bit. Breakfast will start at 7:30, but for those that don't want to come at 7:30, you don't have to. But you can still have breakfast. So we're going to try it and see. So from 7:30, they will have breakfast starting, ready. What we did too was monitor the line this morning, and to go through the line till the back end of the line, it took a half an hour. Okay, so those that want to be here at 7:30, and I won't say who will probably be there, but I think it's people that have been around a long time. Oh, I didn't look anywhere, did I? I'm sorry. So at 7:30, it'll be available for breakfast, and then you can come as you wish, and they're going to try and keep it warm through to about 8:30. Okay? So if you still come at 8 o'clock, then the line should be down so that you can just go right through. So those that would like to come at 8, then you can. If you come at 8:30, well, you're at risk. It could be cold. Okay? One other thing for me is that on Monday, when I was registering people in the afternoon, that somebody needed $10 change and we didn't have it, or I didn't have it. And I said, Rod, and I said, the person knows who that is. Because I said, you're going to have to help me remember because I could forget, and I did. And I've been trying so hard and I still can't remember who it is. So there's $10 I owe somebody, because what they did was I know the amounts they gave me. So this is the honesty, okay? And after the meeting tonight, it's got to be truth. Okay, that's my announcements. Oh, that's right, too. I'm sorry. Thank you, Kim. Kimberly. Okay, so the snacks this week after the service are going to be, you know where you go in the building for dinner? And that popcorn machine is on the wall there with that. That's where the snacks are going to be. So there's chairs there and everything and that, so you can go down there and visit and have snacks. Okay, it's easier for them to set it right out there and then put it back, because otherwise we've, you know, the transporting and all that stuff and then taking it back, it's very complicated. So we're trying to make those things a little bit easier. Okay? Thank you very much.
Any other announcements? God bless you. You're dismissed.